May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord our Redeemer. Amen. Today in churches throughout England and Wales, we are celebrating Education Sunday, something that has been celebrated for more than 100 years. Education Sunday invites us to pause and give thanks for the gift of education in our nation, and I'm very grateful to have this opportunity of sharing this focus with you in the cathedral today. And perhaps today we can also pause and reflect on our own education that we received. I hope there are happy memories and do not spoil your day. Today we want to give thanks for, encourage, and pray for all those in any way involved professionally in education, in early years settings, family centres, schools and colleges, and universities. And many of us can also give thanks for adult education opportunities such as our summer school or University of the Third Age. Let me give you a snapshot into something that was going on in one of our church schools a few weeks ago. The school is Rowledge Church of England Primary School. And they devised a two-day event that they named their Peace Days. With the help of a local ecumenical schools team, they rearranged the curriculum totally around the theme of peace. To coincide with Remembrance Sunday and the centenary of the outbreak of World War I. All age groups were scrambled, so that in each group there were 5-year-olds up to 11. The day started with the remembrance service in the parish church, led by the vicar. And that was followed back at school by a range of lessons and shared experiences on the theme. And central to the whole experience were the prayer stations. The children experienced ways of being still, praying using art and imagination to put themselves in other people's shoes, thinking about their own areas of trouble and conflict and ways to work with one another. The Peace Days made a huge impact on the school and helped knit together the parish and the school in even closer bonds. I've given you this little glimpse into the life of one of our 83 church schools in the diocese to help you visualize what Christian education in action looks like. Parish and school working together, welcoming children and families from the community with all sorts of learning, enrichment, and high quality teaching, in this case around a universal theme that will last a lifetime, linked to the well-being of the whole child and all in the name of Christ and for his glory. This is the privilege of our calling in education, and it happens in country after country. I had the privilege of visiting Nigeria with the diocese on a couple of occasions and seeing the legacy of the great pioneers who established churches and brought the gospel to that land. Wherever they established churches, there were the medical clinics, and there, of course, were the schools. And 3 years ago in this cathedral, we gave thanks for the bicentenary of the founding of the National Society, the body behind the establishment of many thousands of Anglican schools throughout the country, the so-called national schools. The vision of those pioneers was to establish a church school in every parish, and these great pioneers almost achieved it, with thousands of schools established within 30, 40 years. An outflow of the grace of God through the church in society has, for so many centuries, led to the establishment of schools. And we have, in our department, just across the way in the education centre, we've been entrusted with this great legacy today. Archbishop Justin has recently said, "Our schools are the most visible expression of the church's mission in this country." I want to give briefly three characteristics of our Christian contribution to education. The first is that it is a calling. When these pioneers put their plans together, it wasn't just a good idea. They were responding to a call. In our gospel passage this morning, Jesus, the rabbi, the teacher, amazed his hearers because he taught as one who had authority. He had received his commission from the Father, and that meant that he had authority to speak and to act. Since he was under the Father's authority, he also had the power to act in deliverance and healing, as witness his dealings with that tormented man. And as Christians involved in education, we have also received a calling, a commission, a vocation. The words of Psalm 78 echo down the ages to us. We will tell the next generation the marvelous works of our God. We will not hide them from our children. And Christian education is about telling that wonderful story and working alongside to enrich children's lives, giving them the tools that inform, develop, and release potential. And education is a calling different from education as a function. It is a response, so says our Archbishop, to a deeply felt moral obligation to provide education for all, a grace overflowing from the grace and love of Christ lavished in the church, especially for the poorest and the most vulnerable. I want to emphasize this isn't just about church schools. Wherever we as Christians are working in education, there we can know God's anointing and his blessing. And this applies to ourselves as parents and grandparents. We have a calling to pass on to the next generation the good news of Jesus Christ and the practical outworking of the love of God. And this sense of calling applies to individuals also. I've been a teacher throughout my working life. I love the work, and yet I reached a point in my early headship in London where I felt if anyone mentions again the word education, I'll scream. I just had too much. And little did I know that just down the line I would receive a sort of mini Damascus Road experience where I knew that this was not just a job, that the Lord had got hold of me. It was a real calling, and this was my main ministry. Christ had laid hold of me for this. Let us pray that more teachers will come to a deep understanding of their vocation for God in their work. And the second contribution of Christian education is an understanding of the whole child. Jesus did not teach that day in the synagogue, just teach. He attended to the needs of that poor man. I was arrested recently by an international study of academic achievement and student well-being. And in a number of cases, and this is very relevant in the news today, where countries were top of the league tables for academic achievement, they were far, far from the top for well-being. It can be seen the other way around as well, where some countries have enormous problems with their schooling, and yet where families are strong, well-being can be really high. We're told that 80% of factors affecting the achievement of children does not come from school. It comes from the home. And so schools really only have the opportunity to influence 20% of the child's achievement. In a Christian approach to education, it is the whole child that is in focus. We seek to see the child as God sees them, as a person loved and uniquely gifted by Him. The third contribution of Christian education to the nation is an understanding of hospitality, a generous hospitality that flows from Christ's love. The structures, customs, and rigor of the synagogue where Jesus was preaching did not prevent him from courageously dealing with that poor man. Christ's love brought peace and calm. Church schools were called into being to serve their local communities, including the poorest and neediest families. Our calling involves holding out Christ-like hospitality and courageous engagement with all whom He brings our way. My own school was in Soho in the West End and presented many issues and not a few serious problems, but overall it was the warm, inclusive hospitality that the school and its parish were able to offer children from many nations. But hospitality has a cost, and teachers deal every day with all the presenting joys and challenges of a needy and often broken world. Teachers can feel overwhelmed and battered, not just by the slings and arrows of successive secretaries of state, but by the challenges that exist in many families today. I know of two of our diocesan schools where the head has had to deal occasionally with fights in the playground, not by children, but by parents. And today we pray for head teachers and their staff that they may be granted the authoritative love and power that Christ demonstrated and only He can grant. And so, in closing, as for this community and this cathedral and the community here, thank you for marking Education Sunday today. Let this be a moment to give thanks and show appreciation for the cathedral school team and for the hundreds of children and young people they welcome here every year. For those schools that hold and colleges that hold their special services here, totaling thousands of students. I was at Farnborough College of Technology in the week, and the principal was telling me how much they value the warmth and hospitality of coming here for their graduation ceremonies. Praying for Canon Julie's burgeoning work with sixth formers, for Canon Andrew's vital work in the university. And please join me in praying for more chaplaincies to be established in secondary schools and colleges in the diocese, for more Christians to come forward for teacher training, for more people of good heart to come forward to serve as governors, so that, in the words of Psalm 78, the next generation would know Him, and they in turn would tell their children and put their trust in God. Amen.